Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious and merciful Father, which art in heaven, we turn unto thee in this evening hour, beginning with hymns of praise and prayers unto thee in our need for thy presence and our thanksgiving unto thee for the inheritance that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is to our Lord Jesus Christ that we turn to fill our every need. As the water of life, to satisfy our thirst, and as the bread from heaven, to nourish our souls, open thou our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes, in faith unto thee, that we could see thee, and having seen thee, be changed by thee, to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to bring thee praise and honor, and to fulfill the task that thou hast placed us on this earth to accomplish. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage of scripture we can read this evening is contained in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the entire chapter. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus ends this Sermon on the Mount with an instruction, one instruction for us. And that is to hear these sayings and to do them and to endure through that. To endure the rain, the floods, the winds that would beat upon us, because our foundation stands sure. Jesus says that will happen to the one who hears these sayings of his, of Jesus Christ's, and doeth them. And it is the perspective of Jesus, the perspective of our Lord and his opinion that should matter the most. The words of Jesus Christ and his teachings are words of life. They're words that can make a man new, can make a new creature, a brand new creation, And he asks us, hear these commands, hear these sayings. Meditate upon them. Give them time. Consider them in your heart and let them shine as a light. And see, are we doing them? We will be so blessed beyond measure when we listen and obey to Jesus' teaching and command. When God created out of the empty void the earth and the heavens, he undertook a work, and in that work he made a separation. He separated the light from the darkness. He separated the day from the night. He separated the land from the sea. He separated the waters that were above the firmament and below. And in all of these things, he also began to fill. He filled the sky with the sun and the moon and the stars. He filled this earth with life of plants and animals and created man in his own image from the dust of the ground for his honor and for his glory. And he said it was very good. His creation was working in concert with his will. And Jesus is coming here and teaching. And his teachings bring a new life, a new creature. And in that new creation, there is separation and there is filling. There were many who were listening to Jesus' words, who knew the scriptures very well, but they were not able to partake. They were not able to glean the blessing that was contained in that precious pearl. They were very preoccupied with pointing out the minutiae of other people's lives and not considering their own sin and how they had fallen short. And Jesus Christ spoke the words, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." There are things that are off limits that we must be separated from. And those who had heard this message and to whom it was directed were not willing, mostly, to leave off the place of judgment of other men. And would reap the wages of that approach to life. They would fill up their sins and the judgment that was due unto them. But Jesus is teaching them and one and all that there must be a separation from self-righteousness. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? What light and what salt was brought to the world through the self-righteous Pharisees? They could not benefit anyone, and they hindered them their own selves. Jesus then says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. There must be a separation from self-righteousness. And here we see there must also be a separation from wantonness. Jesus is commanding, take the beam out. Remove it far from you. See clearly to be able to offer saving help. To be that salt, to be that light, to be that blessing and help that this world is in need of. The Word has said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Jesus is teaching us there must be a separation from those unrighteous thoughts and from those self-righteous thoughts, and to return to the Lord in the humility, recognizing that we've tried to pull that beam out and we need the Lord and his help to find true cleansing, not in the eyes of men, but before God. The scriptures say that the Lord declared to his people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive and heal their land. There is a blessing in separation. And it is the first roadblock in this chapter to a unity with God and a unity with our brethren. And it is worthwhile to hear Jesus' words. Wherever we are on that spectrum of from self-righteousness to unrighteousness, there is a need for separation and change. Jesus gives some illustrations of a man that takes care of his animals and a man that takes care of his children. It would be odd to see the man taking care of his animals casting his pearls before them. It doesn't fit, it doesn't belong. But the man that gives the things that his children need, yes, I could see that. That belongs, that is fitting. Do you know God that way? Who is the dog? Who is the swine? Just by their nature, the swine is very pushy. When its owner comes to him, he's pushing on the door of his enclosure. He's forceful. He's demanding. He's like the one that feels like he deserves and is going to get it by force. The dog is one that can be trained to do tricks and receive a treat. We can think about those characteristics in a more spiritual sense. How does God give? To the one that demands and feels entitled? To the one that works and feels as if they've done some trick and they deserve now the precious pearl? No. We have a hymn in the Zion's Harp that says, by anxious care and grieving, by self-consuming pain, God is not moved to giving. By prayer must thou obtain. And so Jesus invites us not to be like those who are listening, the scribes and the Pharisees who came to the Lord demanding and feeling that they deserved that fellowship with God, but to kindly, patiently, and with a humble and needy heart, ask, and it shall be given you. It's so interesting to see little children grow up and how they ask for things and how it changes as they develop. As a baby, before they learn to talk, they don't know how to communicate their need. And as a young child, after they learn to talk, you want to teach them to relate to you in a way that's becoming of the parents, with respect, with polite words, with communicating clear thoughts, and sharing. A parent is wise enough to know all of the needs of the baby or the little child. But something happens as they grow up and as they develop their own personality that craves a relationship, closeness, sharing, fellowship. Is receiving from the Lord in my life and your life pictured by the fellowship that we share? Apostle Paul was very familiar with this. He knew it on many different levels. And one of his desires was that he would know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. To know the Lord in the good and in the challenge, in the bright day and in the temptation, and to be able to come to him knowing, I have a Father who takes care of me, and I can share with him what my needs are. He wants to know me. He says to those that presumed that they had deserved the kingdom of God by prophesying, casting out devils, and doing wonderful works in the Lord's name, I never knew you. How important it is to come to the Lord on his terms. We cannot hide anything from God. We cannot come to him without faith and expect an answer. These are the terms: openness and faith. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Your Father, which is in heaven, shall give good things to them that ask him. You don't go to your dad to ask for something that's going to hurt you. There might be other places where you can find those sort of things. But the storehouses of our Father are filled with the good things. And who is good but God? Is there any treasure, any virtue that we could raise up higher than having that fellowship with Jesus Christ? Because that's where the life and the strength and the virtue flows from the vine and our relationship with him. When that is in order, the things that we want become the will of God. We say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Father is very pleased. And it touches our relationships with one another as well. Jesus says, therefore, this is a condition of being able to receive from the Lord. There's a connection between having that fellowship with God and then what follows in verse 12. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We should take time to answer clearly, what is it that we want? Otherwise, this command will become very open-ended. And we will think, wow, I can get whatever I want other people to do to me by doing something. No. The fulfillment of what Jesus is talking about here says, this is the law and the prophets. What is it that he's talking about? He's asking us to imagine your relationships and interactions with other people as being the optimal that they can ever be, and carrying that out. He's saying that whatever is on this side of the sentence or the equation is equal to the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. What is the goal and the aim of the law and the prophets? But to testify of Jesus Christ. The life that we live and the life that we share with one another is Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. We can spend a lot of time meditating on the various applications of whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. We can think about the advice that we might give to somebody that we really love. there are many needs. If we think of this verse as first what I would like, probably be mistaken. Jesus came not to do his own will, to do the will of his Father, not to prolong his own life, but to give his life a ransom for many, and to fill our need. And when you think about your relationships with other people, you know people are different. Some people appreciate a well-cooked meal. Some people really appreciate time and showing love in that way. Many people, they might appreciate respect. And it might mean even more to them. Would you like everybody to be treating you in ways that in the end become self-serving to themselves? Or would you like other people to be thinking, what does he need? What does she need? Isn't that how you would like to be treated? It wouldn't do me very good to have an apartment in a high-rise building. That's not what I'm interested in. The Lord looked down and saw our need and filled it. The Lord is asking us to look into this world and the people that are around us and to fill the need. Where there's anger, sow his love. Where there's injury, promote his peace. Where there's darkness, share his light and his joy. Jesus asks us to be light and salt. And he gives us these commands and many others that we'll have to go home and hear. And each and every one, we have to hear what Jesus is telling us. To go and do it, we'll find the foundation that stands strong and wonder at God's love and his wisdom as he guides and directs our lives. May God bless his word to that end. Amen.